Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, Michael and I had our golf reunion at long last, and it was at a gorgeous destination. We're recapping the entire COL Playcation trip to New Mexico. Plus, we had some PGA Tour card drama, a little Liv highlight, finally a highlight-worthy moment from Liv, and some funny tidbits from a friend in the gallery. We're tuned into Lord of the Rings and Celebrity Weather Dogs, and this week's guest, the GM and incoming board director for the PGA of America. We met him last week on our fantastic trip. Great conversation with Derek Gutierrez coming your way on all things golf in New Mexico. And we'll recap our trip dining when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. They make the phone caddy, which we had on full display and is a necessity, especially when you're in 2022 working with your phone on the golf course. And the phone caddy provides exactly what you need for safety and stability to keep your phone safe and where it needs to be at all times. But they've also come out with a really cool line of Swing 8 tumblers as well, too. A nice way to keep your drink cold. They're basically just monopolizing every accessory that you'll see in your golf cart. So coming soon, Desert Fox domination of your golf cart. It starts with the phone caddy and the Swing 8 tumblers. Promo code Course of Life to save 10% off. Again, promo code Course of Life to save 10% off at desertfoxgolf.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and D3 Golf. I'm Michael. He's Alex. And Alex, I feel like we just saw each other. It was seems like it was just yesterday.
Yeah, first in person content for the history of the podcast. How about that for an opening headline?
Probably took us like 4 years to make.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But that's right. Our COL Playcation, as we have dubbed this series, whenever we go on a nice little golf vacation, rolled into New Mexico, just north of Albuquerque, about 30 minutes from the Albuquerque airport, to the Hyatt Regency Tamaya.
There you go.
Say it the right way, because we said it wrong forever.
Yep.
They had us out there. Great props to them for doing a great job and rolling out the red carpet for us. And let us enjoy the resort, enjoy all the food that was to be had, and of course let's and the golf. So Alex, you said it to me when you texted me. You got there before me, and you said, "Be ready for an epic drive into the resort."
That's right.
I think like my first reaction to that place was like, "Damn, is this real?"
A true, uniquely set out setting away from it all. Peace, quiet, serenity. Like if you truly want to get away and have a serene vacation experience and be one with nature and be outside and inside and have all the amenities of a beautiful climate too. Just unbelievably dry air, beautiful weather climate up there in northern New Mexico. This is definitely the place for you. Those are my opening thoughts before we even hit a golf shot at all. And New Mexico, Mike, one of those states where, you know, never really at the top of my radar, but in the two experiences I've now had there, is definitely moving up the power rankings for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think New Mexico, for a lot of people, it's one of those places where it's like, yeah, that'd be cool to go, but then you just never do. After now going there, I definitely want to go back. And I'm not just saying that. I think there's a lot of other things in that area, in the Albuquerque, Santa Fe area, that we didn't do because we were engrossed in the resort and playing golf there. But there's so much to do in that area, and it's just such a magical area of the country with such unique landscape that it just would be so much fun to go to. And of course, that made for a golf course that is unique beyond compare to me. Oh, something that I've never played anything like that in the middle of the desert, with mesas on one side and with the Sandia Mountain overlooking us. Every tee box we went up to, I think our reaction was, is this real? Is this view real?
Because I was wondering what the attached course was going to be like, Twin Warriors to the resort, and exactly how it would stick out. You kind of forget, you think it's a flatter land base in New Mexico, but because you're at such elevation, there really are truly some dramatic undulations throughout the course. And that was showcased immediately. And those first four holes, you just keep climbing in elevation and get to even more and more epic views. You can check those out all at Instagram. I'm at Course Life Live. Alex, you're at MWR INC, and check out COL Podcast as well for all the photos and videos from there as you listen to us here. But I really didn't do it any justice. It was just majestic seeing the mountains, and it made bogeys and double bogeys a little bit more palatable. Fortunately, there weren't too many, and I think we played pretty well overall. But yeah, golf experience, 10 out of 10. A, due to the views, B, due to a course that just presented itself really nicely and was a real stern test as well.
Yeah, it really was. You know, we'll talk more about the course during the interview too, which we had with Derek Gutierrez, the PGA pro there, who's certainly knows that course, and just the uniqueness of it, the forced carries over everything. And of course, you're at a mile high elevation, so everything was going an extra 10%, made us feel like we were Beefy Bryson out there just bombing it out in the middle of the fairway.
We did have a few big numbers on our yardages, and we weren't sure if it was 6% or 8% or 10%, but the bottom line is the ball was flying a little further, just landing soft like a feather as well. Yeah, too.
It really was.
We had the two rounds of golf, and we started it first with the D3 match. So
we did, which we did. So stroke play, and of course, D3 incorporating handicaps in there for us based on the course difficulty as well. So we'll just play our game. It doesn't matter that you got birdie and I got bogey. My bogey adjusted and was just as good as your birdie on a lot of holes. So,
yeah, on some holes it was, yeah.
And bottom line, Alex, I reigned victorious pretty easily, actually.
Yeah, which is
or four strokes.
Frustrating because I played good, but I didn't really play good enough in my mind to beat you with the strokes at hand. And it's all about when the strokes happen too. There were a few holes where you got two pops and you fully took advantage of it. So in those moments where we're tying those holes, you're really picking up two shots on me. So those came through clutch for you. So I do tip my cap to you, sir. Congrats on the debut local challenge victory on the D3 Golf app. Everyone be sure to check that app out and challenge us if you want to play us in future matches. But it was nice to have a local live match with the money on the line.
It was indeed. And then the next day we set goals in terms of looking at what we had hit there. I think I hit on that first match, I hit a 103 and you had an 82?
Yeah, 81, I think. 81? 82, yeah.
So we said, all right, I'm going to break 100 and you're going to break 80. And we did it. We came out strong and were able to do it each. I had a 97, you had a 98, 97, you had an 88 or 87.
I had a 78, 6 over par, 39, 39. And the thing is, with playing a course the second day in a row, even if it's only the second time you played it, just having that first sight line and knowing exactly where you need to hit and where you need to line up for tee shots and approach shots, it made all the difference because it allowed me to cut off like maybe 30 or 40 yards off every hole that I wasn't sure I was able to do. And that gave me a lot of better numbers coming in. Shorter approaches. I birdied that same par five both days, but yeah, it was a good enough to accomplish the goal on my end, and you slid under 100 as well too.
Yeah, so it was overall, it was a pretty good golfing weekend with all of that, and it was great fun to see your horrible ugly swing in action, and it seems to produce pretty good results overall, even
it's
though
shocking.
I was outdriving you by about 20 yards in every tee shot there.
Yeah, you were bombing it, especially when you got the low draw working, which I'm still very envious of. But I enjoyed the extra distance when we could get it. Really cool desert golf test. And a nice little kind of bucket list check off. Not quite your typical Arizona desert type of course with cactus everywhere. A different type of desert highland experience. A mountainside golf. It felt like golf on Mars at times too. There were just so many unique views, and you can check out all the photos and videos from our visit as well too.
And of course, the resort had a lot of other great things to offer that we were able to take advantage of. They have a bunch of bike trails. We were able to bike around there. And then we were able to go horseback riding as well on Friday morning.
What were your thoughts on the horseback riding experience? Myself and my wife fared pretty well. And it was the first time I'd mounted a horse in, probably at least half my life. So maybe at least, say, 17, 18 years. How long was it for you?
It was 20 or 25 years for me. And, I will say by the end, my quads, the inside of my thighs and the upper legs were burning a little bit by the end, I will say.
Just Joe had a lot coming out the rear end, your horse as well, too. He wasn't afraid to let go of that hay and that grass he'd been chewing up earlier this morning.
No, and that's all right. That's what horses do. But that was
a very fantastic experience. And honestly, learning about the stables at Tamaya, the entire program and the rehab program, what they do to basically rescue horses that are otherwise left for no good. And it's really encouraging to see what they're doing. The same way that we all love and cherish, adore everything that, you know, animal rescue shelters are doing for rescue dogs and cats and whatnot. They're doing the same for horses there and rehabbing them back to really successful journeys in their own way. So that was a unique story to be told as well, in addition to having the scenic horseback ride.
It really was. That was another highlight of the trip as well. And the whole trip was full of highlights. We'll talk about the food at the end of the podcast, as we usually do, but that certainly was a high point as well. And so the big question is, Alex, would you go back?
Oh, I would go back. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, Hyatt. Yes, Hyatt. I would go back. I would go back in an instant, friends at Hyatt. I would love to experience some of the other courses in the area, too. There's Santa Ana on property. There's several other courses on near around the Sandia Mountains as well, too. That could be a fun experience. I heard that there's some sort of mountainside tram, Mike. This kept getting brought up at multiple points in our trip. And that seems like a ride of a lifetime that I need to take. So.
Yeah, there's a tram. There's fine dining at the top of the tram. So there's a restaurant that you can go to. And there's skiing there as well, which I didn't know on the backside of the Sandy Mountain. There's about four lifts spinning there. So you can head out there in the winter and enjoy some skiing. I don't think you're going to be able to play golf then, but you'd at least be able to go skiing. So
I'm such a third grader when it comes to this. That kept tripping me out. I kept saying to myself, dude, it's like 90 degrees and sunny, but like you can also ski here later this year. It's awesome, man. It's just one of those cool climates.
Yeah, it really was a unique trip for sure. And I'd like to go back. I need to bring my wife since she wasn't able to come and let her really experience that part of the country because it was pretty awesome.
Indeed.
And we'll have a lot more about the course in the area with Derek Gutierrez a little later in the show, the PGA Pro. They're also on the PGA of America Board of Directors, so we'll hear a lot more from him coming up. Let's talk about some of the professional golf that was going on out there as well. There was the Korn Ferry Tour Finals.
Yes.
They handed out 25 more cards.
That's right. And our friend Hagen Parkman was following it all, obviously. The Korn Ferry Tour Finals, that second gasp opportunity to secure your PGA Tour card. A lot of very inspirational stories. And the really cool part about how this all unfolds, Mike, is it's based on kind of live play and who's birdieing and parring their 17th and 18th hole where and who shakes out to the 25. And guys are getting informed walking through the lobby in the locker room where they stand with the live Golf Channel cameras in their face. So it created some very interesting live TV conversation moments, but neat to see some more stories as cards were given out. And we're going to see all these guys real soon. Remember, we are live next week with the 2022-23 campaign on the PGA Tour. So it's all coming at us real fast here. Just enough time to exhale, basically.
That's right. And there also was that, what, like 330-yard carry over the water to get to the green. I forget who it was who did that.
Yes,
you have these big moments that these guys need to do something special. And we certainly had a couple of those moments over the
weekend. That's like when you and I were excited on that short par four last week to carry it successfully 195 yards into the correct fairway. That was a big win for us. So.
Yes. Yes, indeed. The LPGA was in action as well. It was the Dana Open presented by Marathon. And Gabby Lopez, Sunday 63 to take her third career victory.
Clutch. And I saw just the dynamite finish from her. And it got capped with an unbelievably gutsy birdie putt. About a 15 footer at the last to really ice it. There were a few other groups out there, but that basically was the icing on the cake for the victory. And shout out to Gabby Lopez for getting it done. Very impressive win under the circumstances. Kind of not ideal conditions, but shout out to her for getting it done.
There also was some exhibition golf going on in the Boston area. 54 holes of so-called golf. Now they wear shorts out there as well in the LIV Tour.
Wear short shorts.
It was the Boston LIV Invitational Tournament thingamajiggy. I don't know what.
I play this course, Mike, the International. Yeah,
it's just outside. There you go. So you've played the International. Is it a PGA Tour caliber course?
I'd say so. It's funny. The International grew early fame back in the late 90s for developing what they called Tiger Tees at one of their courses. And it was a big deal back in the day in the late 90s. That these tees were 7,600 yards. Now, you and I know that that's freaking normal on the PGA yeah. Tour these days. But 25 years ago, that was a big deal for a course like the International to do that. And they're always very bold with their ventures, let's just say. I'm not really sure what their financial state's been in the last 5-10 years. I've heard differing reports, but nonetheless, they grabbed the check from Liv and had a hell of a time hosting this past week.
That's right, they did. And of course, the weekend included a couple firsts in Liv history. They made it into this big thing on social media in particular. First hole-in-one in Liv history,
Matt Wolf, yep.
From Matt Wolf. And then we had the first ever playoff in Liv history. And Dustin Johnson didn't want the playoff to go very long.
He did not, and he got the luckiest break of all time, which he quickly admitted, draining an eagle putt that hit the backboard hard, Mike. I mean, this hit the back of the hole and bounced up, what, at least maybe 4 or 5 inches above ground level before dropping the cup.
Almost as lucky as that putt that I had went kind of around the world 1.5 times, came out of the cup, and then went back in.
Yes, that's right. That was a good putting memory on the greens there in New Mexico. You need breaks like that sometimes, And lo and behold, even a guy like Dustin Johnson, after all the success he's had in the game, still gets those breaks. So he slammed the door shut on the first playoff hole, beat Anirban Lahiri and Joaquin Neiman with a W, $4 million to him. The team wins again. So that means Pat Perez just hops up on the podium again and gets to spray champagne for doing absolutely nothing. This guy is just riding Dustin Johnson's coattails like nobody else ever has before. So some interesting money being given out at the end of this all.
Well, I'm pretty sure that Pat Perez is one of those contracts where the money he's winning is going against his contract. I'm just going to say it up front. I'm pretty sure he's got one of those contracts.
Hey, so enjoy the champagne, because that's all you're getting. Exactly. In the long run.
Exactly.
So that was a funny moment. And then I got to bring up that I had a friend of the show who was live on the grounds at Liv as well, too. Our friend of the show, David, who we've had on for Autograph Tales and Tales of the Graph in the past, had the opportunity to play in the Pro-Am. Mike, he teed it up and played 18 holes with a couple of the Aussies, Mark Leishman, and yes, that's right, you guessed it, the mullet, Cam Smith, playing 18 holes with our friend David. What are your thoughts on that?
Were they wearing shorts? That's what I want to know. Were they wearing shorts during the program?
You know what? I got to check the photos again. I don't think David was wearing shorts. I think he wore pants maybe just to play it safe because he wasn't sure if he could wear shorts in that setting. And then I don't know if the ruling was officially laid down. The players could until late Thursday. So he showed up there ready to roll and knew he was playing with the Aussies and had some fun stories. Well, we'll try and get him on for the full breakdown of the round. But the funny story that he delivered, Mike, which you'll appreciate, comes actually from the player dining area where he was walking around eating a meal before the round. And lo and behold, Phil Mickelson's got his food and is canvassing the room and looking for a table, a friend, an ally to join and sit with. There's all these players here, all sorts of agents and reps. And in that moment, David just picked out that Phil Mickelson seemed extremely alone, looked like a fourth grader on the first day of school, and ended up sitting with a couple of Liv marketing team members and not conversing with anyone, which was just a very fascinating tidbit to hear, especially despite everything we've heard and seen about Phil recently.
Yeah, especially out of what we just read in Chipnuck's Phil, in which he seems to be the kind of guy who just walks in and takes over the room and sits down wherever he wants, and all the eyes are on him, and he gets to command the space. And he certainly seems to be, and we've seen this during his press conferences, he's a changed man now. So
yeah,
it's kind of sad, really. I mean, it really kind of is kind of sad.
But. And David mentioned he kind of seemed like somewhat of a broken man. He kind of quickly snuffed away a media request in front of some people and just seemed very off-put by the whole situation and where he lay emotionally. Interesting tidbits included a bet with Cam Smith involving a shotgunning of a beer, all sorts of conversation with Leishman on the course, and some interesting tidbits about how the tournament gets run as well too. So we'll get some more of that, if not for the next week's episode, but soon, and have David on to get the full rundown of what a day in the life was like at the Liv Pro-Am, but interesting sights and sounds at the International.
We're not going to have any picks for any tournament again this week. Another week off before the official start of the next PGA Tour season.
Yep.
So we'll talk more about that next week when we actually have a better idea of the field and everything going on there. For now, let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. A little shorter window for us because, of course, we were in New Mexico. We were enjoying the scenery and the activities at the Hyatt Regency Tamaya. But I did come home, and on Thursday evening, Amazon Prime Video did release the first two episodes of the new show, Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power.
Okay.
The most expensive television show of all time. And I thought it was awfully good for the first two episodes.
So what, I mean, big budget, what, just a gigantically elaborate production, costume, makeup scene? What's going on here?
I mean, it's Lord of the Rings. So it's just, it's world building, it's costumes, it's sets, it's having to do multiple sets for these things, because just like in the original movies, you need something for the hobbits and then you need another set built for the humans so that you can have that interaction between everybody and not have it seem too out of place. And this show is also set before the battle with Sauron, like we see in the first movie. So that's when this show is actually happening.
Damn, sounds pretty elaborate. No pressure on the first few takes there for the actors, huh?
No pressure. None whatsoever. It was pretty good. I would say if you have Prime and you like Lord of the Rings, go ahead and check it out. That's what I would say.
Nice. Love it. My Tuned In was this past week at the resort at the Hyatt Regency Tamaya. I wasn't tuned in much, watched a little football here and there in the room. One thing I did notice in the morning, Mike, is I was scrolling through the local channels. What were you watching in the room there? You have anything on the TVs last week?
Not a whole lot, and certain not really the local channels.
Something struck my eye on one of the local channels on KOB, a local Albuquerque station. It was Friday morning, and the weatherman came on by the name of let's get his name correct here, Steve Stucker, and he rolled on the screen just with his dog. He was just holding his dog, and he was just doing the entire weather broadcast with his dog. We'll be sure to post a picture on Twitter. I'm at Course of Life One, you're at MWRINC, but he was just casually doing the broadcast, just holding his little wiener dog just in his left hand while he moved the clicker with his right. And it was a fantastically charming little local news bit that you could only see in Albuquerque. And apparently he rescues dogs and promotes dog rescue, and this is his way of doing it. Bring your dog to work day on Friday at the news in Albuquerque.
That's actually cute. It's kind of a cool thing to do.
It is precious. I'm gonna shoot you the photos right now, and you'll be oohing and aahing. It was adorable.
Awesome. Well, let's get into this week's guest. We got to head over to New Mexico, like we've been saying time and time again. We're kind of beating a dead horse to a certain extent, but it really was a pretty magical trip. And while we were there, we also got to play Twin Warriors Golf Club, which is part of the Santa Ana Golf Corporation, which oversees the Twin Warriors Golf Course, the Santa Ana Golf Course. A number of restaurants, including the Prairie Star restaurant as well.
Beautiful spot.
And the man in charge of it all, Derek Gutierrez, also happens to be on the PGA of America board of directors.
He does, yeah, which is quite the role. We get into that life in New Mexico, what his life has been in golf and in the area, and some interesting little tidbits and facts regarding some tournaments upcoming at the property, which I'm very excited to hear about as well.
That's right. And we'll have that interview with him in just a moment. But first, let's talk about that official on-course betting app of the Course of Life, Dollar Dollar Dollar, better known as D3. It's pretty fantastic because, of course, it keeps track of your handicap. So it will adjust for you based on how you play versus whoever you're going to play, keeps track of their handicap, but also based on whatever course you're playing. So you can play multiple different courses against whoever is playing somewhere else. Or you can do a local match. And Alex, the thing I really love about this, that I think a lot of golfers that maybe are like me, that are an average American golfer hitting that like 100 stroke area, it really helps you realize that you can have good rounds out there, and that you're doing better than you think you are sometimes, because you see yourself hitting two or three under par and you're like, oh, I'm actually playing better than I think.
Yeah. And golf is a game of expectations. You need to realize what your baseline is and how you can improve on that. You can't be overzealous about how you're going to perform any given day. And that's your handicap. That's how the handicap system works. It allows you to gauge exactly where your game stands. And D3 incorporates that amazingly into the app. So be sure to check out the app, download it, find us on there. I'm Course of Life Alex, you're MWRINC. Michael Russell, Alex Lazon. We are here to play matches against you, and we'd welcome a challenge, whether it's local or remote. Check out the D3 Golf app today. All right, next up on the tee, we're live from Santa Ana Golf Club here in New Mexico at the Prairie Star Restaurant, the 19th hole. We're with the man that runs the show here, the GM. He's on the board of directors for the PGA of America. It's Derek Gutierrez joining us on the Course of Life. Derek, how you doing today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We're fresh off of 18 holes at Twin Warriors, looking to get back at it again. We'll get to the tests in a minute, but I want to talk about this 19th hole and the building specifically. Tell us what's going on here in the clubhouse at Santa Ana and the history specifically behind this property.
Wonderful. So I saw you on Instagram. I was following you this morning, watching your activity over at Twin Warriors Golf Club, which is obviously a mile north of here, high-end destination resort golf, 18 holes, with its own pro shop at the Hyatt Regency Tame Resort Spa.
Beautiful.
Now you're on the southern part of our campus, which is Santa Ana Golf Club, 27-hole daily fee facility. Here in my office, it sits in an 1,800-square-foot golf shop. And then adjacent to what you call the 19th hole, which is our Wind Dancer Grill, which is an amazing grill with a sunken bar and just about every cocktail you can imagine served ice cold there with a lot of local flavors, enchiladas, you know, green chili cheeseburgers, fried egg sandwiches with green chili, just a lot of local flair there in our casual dining grill. And then as you alluded to, our Prairie Star restaurant, which is housed in a 100-year-old adobe mansion. Adjacent to the Wind Dancer Grill, and you're having dinner there tonight, I understand. And
yes, so we are very excited for that.
Chef Miles Lucero is on high alert, and you're going to see new American cuisine there. But Chef Miles is a Native American background. He is infusing all kinds of local flavors from his culture and our region in some of those menu items that you'll see tonight. But you know, had probably 240 golfers out here today, and what you saw out there on the patio was kind of a lot of them out there enjoying the 19th hole, cold beer, iced tea, having a cold cheeseburger, cold sandwich, whatever, getting ready for their whatever's next in their day. But a lot of activity here over at Santa Ana Golf Club.
Definitely, yeah. And obviously the Sandia Mountains, the backdrop for the entire thing, which just resonates throughout the entire region, which is a really cool sight to see for anyone who hasn't been here. Tell us a little bit about your career, which pertains to this property, because you've been here pretty much for the entire duration. Yeah. Tell us about your history in golf as it pertains to the area specifically.
So, don't want to bore the listeners too much, but I'll tell you this. I'm 52 years old, and hit me the other day. I've been here 26 years. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've been here half my life.
Wow, the halfway point. There
and
it is.
So what an honor, a blessing, and a privilege to work here for the Pueblo of Santa Ana, my 700-plus owners that have been so welcoming. You saw a little bit of what I get to see every day. And in those 26 years has never worn off, seeing those mountains, seeing that river, seeing this high desert, seeing the people that we work for and with. True blessing, but I'm here by mistake. It's a serendipity, if you want to call it. I found the game of golf in 1989 at the University of New Mexico when I failed a PE class, tennis.
And what was it, the forehand or the backhand that bothered you more?
My next comeback is always I have a killer backhand, wonderful serve. I didn't go to class.
Oh, so you got to show up to get the grade. Yeah.
I had the wrong 8 weeks. I showed up the back end of the semester. It was the front end, F. And so I went to the dean of the college, and he happened to be a friend of the family, one of those deals here in New Mexico. And he said, why don't you take golf one? And we'll see if we can make that F, you know, even out or go away. And so I took golf one in 1989, I believe it was, hit a range, you know, bucket of balls at a local golf course in Albuquerque, and was hooked, and was a criminology major, political science major, was all over the place in college, and finished at UNM. And then said, you know what, I'm staying in golf. This is a wonderful way to earn a living and never feel like you've been to work a day in your life. And so that's how I got here. I'm married to my wife, Carolyn, for 21 years. Danielle and Joey, my awesome kids, three grandkids, and just living a dream.
It's really awesome. Good, yeah. Yeah, and it's a beautiful place to do it too. Myself, I've only been to the southern part of the state. This is my first time in northern New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Just for people who haven't visited or have only seen it in photos or videos or on social media, maybe one word or thought for what life is like here in northern New Mexico. I have an extreme amount of serenity I'm getting here. I'm getting serene and peaceful. Yeah. But what's life like here for you?
You know, for me, native New Mexican, you said one word and I'll try and get to it. There's so many words we can use. For me, it's spectacular. Mm. Every day. I think that and I'll dovetail off that a little bit. So we partner with the Hyatt Regency Tame Resort and Spa, a lot of group business. And so a lot of our clientele have never been here. And so, you know, we invite them to come see the property like you're doing today. And while it may not be on their radar, once we get people here, I saw your reactions in your posts, and it's like spectacular views and tremendous and best birthday wake up ever or whatever. I think you said something to that effect.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
And so it's that. And so once we get people here, they get it. I think we capture them, we book those groups, And a lot of times people are coming back on their own. And hopefully your wife could make this trip. And I think that hopefully you go home and say, we're coming back. And so.
Oh, yeah, she's jealous. Yeah,
she's jealous. She's very jealous already. Very jealous.
So, yeah, it's just something that's really eye-opening. I had a friend of mine, a PGA member out of Dallas, was here for the first time last week. And him and his wife were just like, they couldn't believe everything that's here to see and do. And it's just a neat place. And the Land of Enchantment is a perfect, perfect tagline for our state motto.
Very well put. Love that. Again, it's Derek Gutierrez. He runs the show here at Santa Ana Golf Club, where we're at, New Mexico. It's our COL Playcation Series. Let's get to the two tests and talk about maybe pros, cons, differences between the two and how they present themselves. You mentioned Twin Warriors and where we are, Santa Ana, the course we played this morning. Talk to me about the two different tests and how they're uniquely challenging.
So this Santa Ana Golf Club 27-hole facility was designed by Ken Killian and the former tour player Ken Green.
Okay.
And what you're going to see out here, I don't know if you're going to have the opportunity to play it while you're here, but you're always welcome. You have less force carries, it's shorter in distance, but you have more level terrain, less elevation change, and then you have rolling hills along the side of your fairways that help feed balls back into the fairway, into the rough, try to keep it out of the native
grass. I think we could have used a few of those this morning at Twin Warriors, admittedly, but we found it by that
night. We certainly learned a lesson to find the fairway.
You're going to lose some golf balls over there. You won't lose as many here. The defense here to the golfer are the greens. They are super elevated, super undulating. And so here, you know, three putts are in abundance. Sometimes that four putt will sneak up and get you. So while not as long as Twin Warriors, somewhat challenging once to the greens, but much more player-friendly. Our daily fee facility, most of our locals are playing this course. A lot of locals play at Twin Warriors, but a lot of them are going to play here at this point, different right. price point. You go a mile north to Twin Warriors Golf Club, high-end destination resort golf designed by Gary Panks out of Scottsdale. In the 90s, because of water restrictions, courses in Arizona were restricted to 90 acres of turf because of water, which is a bigger issue now than it's ever been. So Gary Panks came here, our tribe, which is always concerned with resources and you know, cultural sites and things that exist all around the 75,000 acres, we held ourselves to 90 acres of turf. So what you're going to see there, and you saw this morning actually, is forced carries. You know, you have a tee box, and you're going to fly it over 150 yards of desert to an island fairway, and then you got to go over some more desert.
You know, they made us work for it. Correct. Sure.
And much longer when you play those back tees, 7,700 yards from the tips. Greens there, not as severe as here. So once you get to that green, you have some opportunities to maybe make up some strokes there.
Nice. One of the other factors that we have to talk about when it comes to New Mexico golf and golf in this region, which has been of much debate so far on the trip, is elevation and its factor on the golf ball. I've heard Dr. Google gave us 6%. I heard 10% from some staff members this morning. Where does elevation sit and how much of an effect does it really have on how far the golf ball goes here?
So Denver gets all the accolades for being the mile high. We're the other mile high city.
Okay.
And Google, the green chili competition, who has better green chili? So we're the other mile high city. And our green chili is way better than Colorado's and Denver. So
Denver's up next, I guess.
That's on the record. But, you know, it's just an unbelievable advantage when you come, except for if you're walking, you know, climbing upstairs, you're going to feel the elevation difference, right? But 10%.
Okay. It is 10.
Number. All right. It's never enough in my mind, but I think it's a 10% coming from sea level. It might be a club length difference.
Yeah. Which I probably noticed that a lot more than Alex did coming. I'm coming from sea level.
Then you would see it for sure.
Yeah. We obviously have to talk about the mountain range, the Sandia Mountains, for people who haven't already seen the views that are present in this resort. Sure. I didn't realize quite how present the mountains were going to be. I was thinking more flat this, flat that, but it's been anything but. Talk about the mountains, the history. Obviously, I understand. I learned a little bit about Sandia and watermelon and its translation and how they light up at night. But what's that vibe like for people?
What time did you arrive yesterday?
Just in time to get that last hour of sun.
A little of that watermelon color hue to the mountains. You'll see it again this evening because it's going to be clear skies, I believe. But
yeah,
Sandia, Spanish for watermelon. I believe the Native Americans at some point when they were here saw the mountain, saw the color, and it mirrored a watermelon, the color of a watermelon. When you cut it open, that bright, vibrant color of watermelon.
Can't mistake it.
And so you'll see it this evening. And those mountains are, again, I said earlier, 26, well, growing up here, I see them every day. And being out here closer than from where I live, north of here or south of here, it's just never gotten old. And it's just a spectacular, tremendous, amazing view every single day to look at those mountains. And it's a highlight when people come here. They want to sit on the patios at both restaurants. Indoors is great, but why wouldn't you want to sit on the patios and look at those mountains when the sun goes down here? up here, have breakfast when the sun comes up and see that. So
yes, it's quite a vibe. I like that. You're definitely setting the scene for us very nicely. Derek, let's talk a little bit about what you do with PGA of America specifically, because there's a big thing coming here to this property specifically that we'll get into in a moment. Mm-hmm. But tell everyone about your role with the board as it pertains to the PGA and obviously growing the game in New Mexico and abroad.
So you probably know there's 41 sections that make up the PGA of America. We're the Sun Country section, PGA.
Love the name of that section, by the way.
Yeah, and it's pretty appropriate, right? So yeah. Then you break them out into districts, 14 districts. I represent District 12, which is Northern Texas PGA, Southern Texas PGA, and then, of course, Sun Country section. So we all take turns putting forward a director for 3 years at a time, and we sit on the national board, and we address governance issues, matters that affect our 28,000 members and apprentices, and just I could go on and on the things that we're responsible for. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity because, again, it only comes up every third rotation's years.
And,
and so the window for me to run for that and be elected by my peers here in our section was just a wonderful timing and great opportunity. So I'm really looking forward to I'm in year one. You onboard a year, then you serve 3 years. So I'm in year one of my 3 year term. New headquarters just opened at Frisco, Texas, with two
immaculate,
unbelievable golf courses. And so we'll have to connect you with the folks over at PGA to get you out there to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Just two wonderful golf courses. They'll be open next spring, 500 plus room Omni Resort. And then, of course, our PGA headquarters, which we had our welcome home celebration last week. Get on YouTube and check out the drone footage of that building.
We saw it.
Wonderful. and does it no justice, but and it's great. But being there in person, you've got the hitting bays, you've got the indoor bunker, short game area. You can hit balls outside onto the driving range, all kinds of cool things going on there in the retail district and the hotel that you'll learn more about. But if you're ever that way, please go check it out.
Love that.
So as far as the events coming our way,
yeah,
we've got a lot on our plate coming up and we're excited. We have the Senior Club Professional Championship, or it's called the Senior Professional Championship. Mm-hmm. We'll be here the second week of October. And that's just under 300 of the top senior club professionals from all over the country will be here. The first 2 days, they play both golf courses, and then there's cuts made. And the last 2 days are played over at Twin Warriors Golf Club. And then really excited about the PGA Women's Cup, which is the last week of October. Six countries will be here playing kind of a Ryder Cup style.
Format. Very unique.
And these are women PGA professionals that will come and compete here. And this is a tremendous, high profile, just incredible event that we'll be hosting. And so we're looking forward to the great exposure, wonderful competition. Our playing surfaces, you see, are going to be great tests of golf for the people that are visiting with us in October. Then leapfrog to the last week of April, first week of May, we have the PGA Professional National Championship. Or PGA Professional Championship.
That's the one that gets pros into the PGA Championship, the major championship we all know and love.
Yep, the top 20 get advanced into the PGA Championship. That will have 4 days of coverage on the Golf Channel for us. So next year, if you're not here at that time, you just be tuning in and say, oh, I made bogey there. I buried that hole. I lost a ball there. You're going to see it where you were. But we'll have 4 days of coverage. That's just north of 300 of the top club pros from all over the country will be here for that.
Oh yeah, we had a past guest by the name of Ben Kern, who you'll know, and I'm calling it right now. He'll be staking his claim here next spring to cement his spot at the PGA Championship.
He'll be here, Southern Texas PGA professional. Yeah,
indeed,
wonderful player.
That's going to be an awesome tournament for you guys, and we are always beating the drum. There's a lot of different ways that the game is being grown right now, but the right ways to grow the game are clearly being done with events like this. Mm-hmm. The variety, the seniors, the women, club pro, everything like that.
Sure.
What does it take to really prepare the courses for tournaments like that? You know, we just see PGA Tour events on tournament where you're just at these, you know, wonderfully exclusive venues that obviously have all the amenities in the world to put together these events. You're putting together several of them in a row. What's that going to take for you guys as a staff?
So it's I can tell you, we have nine PGA members on our team. And the education program, everything we go through as apprentices or associates to become PGA members prepares you for all of this. Just like the agronomists out there, the golf course superintendents go through all their training education to prepare them to grow grass and maintain grass and set up playing conditions. And it's having a real capable team. And I try to make it a practice to have people around me I that are better than me at the craft, and it makes it all function pretty well. We've done it twice before, so we go back to the playbook and say this worked, that didn't work. You know, we didn't do this better. We'll go back and look at those notes from 2003 and 2009, and make sure that we're ready to do it right again. You know, the next three events. Constant communication with Mark Chetchot, with PGA of America and his team. constant communication on course setup and recruiting volunteers, which is actually probably the most critical part of any of the big events you see on TV.
Yes.
Or these is volunteers. These things do not go off without volunteer commitment and participation. So just a lot of moving parts, telling everybody, getting ready their assignments and letting them run with it. So
nice. Yes.
A lot of moving parts.
I'm a big volunteer guy. I'm famously known as Mr. Quiet Please holder at the Dell Match Play every year in Austin. You'll for sure see me next March when you're watching that on TV.
What a great property that is, isn't it?
It's beautiful. What a gift that was for a golf fan like me to have that tournament land right in my backyard.
Good for you.
Very, very blessed.
Love the town of Austin.
Indeed. It's a great place. All right, Derek Gutierrez, let's get to some quick shots. You run the show here at Santa Ana. Let's talk about some New Mexico stuff. I think you already teased the answer for this. It's pretty clearly Lobos over Aggies. Is that right?
Absolutely. Lobos before Aggies.
And I've heard there's a pretty intense, maybe underrated tailgate for the UNM-NMSU game. Is that not right? And it kind of switches locations every year, obviously.
Underrated?
Yeah.
I don't know. That might not be quite the case. So I think the tailgating here is pretty strong.
Yeah.
I will give the Aggies credit. It's probably their game's probably a little stronger than south of here, and they have the PGA PGM program down there. They're pushing new pros into the business out of their program down there. So
very cool.
Yeah, probably a better nothing like UT. I've been to tailgate in UT, and the tailgating game there is.
That's the real deal, yeah.
Smokers everywhere. Everybody's like, have a bite. It's a different experience.
Yeah, football season's here. I'm very excited for that. Let's get to the course records here. How low has someone gone at Santa Ana? And maybe even from those 7,700-yard tees at Twin Warriors. What do we have on record?
63. Metalizo Mathia, who's a former UNM Lobo, played some professional golf, shot 63, I believe, in a U.S. Open qualifier several years ago from the tips, from all the way back.
Wow.
That may never be challenged again.
Yeah.
And a former UNM Lobo women's golfer shot 63 a couple of years ago in one of our local tournaments as well. And so I think it's 63 there. Here, to my knowledge, it's a 61. I believe it was shot in the New Mexico Open several years ago. And I don't remember the name of that.
Okay.
That player that shot that.
Pretty low. Yeah, that's 63 from the tips at Twin Warriors. I don't know. I'm not sure that's getting touched for a long time.
Even at elevation, that's pretty impressive.
It is. Yeah. Yes. Photo or video spot on the course. We've done one round now, but we're going to go back out to Twin Warriors tomorrow. The waterfall on four is a really cool spot, but there's so many mountain spots. What's your just absolute favorite vista on the property?
I'm going to tell you, and if you just need to get that view and take it all in, about 9 in the morning, 8 or 9 in the morning, 13 green. Hit your putt and then walk up and then look directly to the east. So 13 green looking over 12 fairway to the valley in the Sandia Mountains, my favorite view on the golf course.
Noted. All right. We're noting that down for future rounds. And then we love to wrap with our 19th hole question. You can take this to any of the 19th holes on property you want. But the main question is, when you get done with a round of golf and you get here into the clubhouse, what's your go-to order, your favorite meal and drink to order at the end of the day?
Favorite meal and drink when I'm done. Well, I try not to drink at work very often. If it's my go-to, it's a green chili cheeseburger, sharp cheddar, extra green chili and onions, crispy bacon, crispy fries, and a Tito's and vodka with extra lime.
Nice. That's a remarkably on-brand order with the green chili cheeseburger there. Yeah, I commend you for that. Love it. Derek, thank you so much for hopping on the course of life. Love what you're doing with the show here and can't wait to see the rest of the property.
Let us know if you would ever want to come back. We'll take good care of you.
And we're back. Great chat there with Derek. He's a really awesome guy, has been there for a long time, knows a lot about the area.
Great host.
And I think we might need to put on the calendar that 2023 PGA Professional Championship at Twin Warriors in Santa Ana.
Yeah, that's kind of a calendar note for me. I'm marking that down for the trip calendar next year. I mean, I'd love to be out there. We previously had Ben Kern on the program, who's always a factor. Like I mentioned in the interview, I think he's going to be a factor again this coming year at that venue. Friend of the show, Steve Scott, will surely be there. If he's not playing, he'll be broadcasting. Would love to see the Golf Channel set up and everything like that. So if you're already not tuned into that or interested in visiting the property, be sure to check out Santa Ana, Prairie Star, Twin Warriors, and then the Regency property. And you're in for a treat as well, too. In case you didn't already hear, like Derek said, it's spectacular out there. His words were better than mine. Amazing spot.
It really is. And if you haven't checked out all the photos and videos we posted on social media of it, make sure you do follow us there. COL Podcast on Instagram. Alex's Course of Life. Alex, I'm MWRINC. Also, make sure you punch that subscribe button on the podcast app that you're listening to us on right now so you don't miss a single episode from us, so you catch all the amazing content that we pump out. Let's talk football, Alex. It is Labor Day. Yep. We're recording this on our usual Monday afternoon, and that means it is football season, and that means it's time for me to either be all in on the Giants or all out on the Giants.
Yeah, my weekend plans are officially booked for the next 5 months, so I apologize to the wife already. It's just the way things are, but we've reached that time of the year as we turn the calendar through Labor Day. And yeah, you got the Giants bandwagon here. I'm curious to see how long you last this year. Historically, in the history of this podcast, it's been a rough go for your Giants fandom.
It has. Yeah, it really has. The swing of the season is over. The Giants suck. They're never going to win another game ever again. To, oh my God, the Giants are going to win the Super Bowl. That's the swing week to week on this podcast.
Yes, and in the past few years, on the other side of the coin, the Patriots have gone from Super Bowl champions, Brady's last ring, losing Brady, Cam Newton, Mac Jones the rookie, and now Mac Jones in his second year with a lot of question marks on the coaching staff. They head to Miami for their first game of the year. That's always a nightmare of a game. Patriots in Miami in September. Surely that'll be nice and hot and humid. Bottom line, we have our hands full in week one. Adjusted expectations for the both of us to get our NFL season started.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming on the show next week and either espousing the greatness or just not wanting to talk football at all. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
You tend to get that way in September.
I know. It'll be that way. College football also was in action. The official start to the season, week one. Alex, how are you feeling after this week?
I'm issuing a formal apology. I was no comment for about a day or two on Twitter. And now I realize I have to issue a formal apology for all my runyourpool.com fans, readers, subscribers. I let you down. Week zero was a solid card. You may not have been there for that. Everyone was there for week one. That's the official start of college football. And I really let everyone down. 1-4 with the picks. Just subpar, to say the least. I'm back to the drawing board. It's double research, double note-taking this week. I will be back firing on all cylinders. So check out runyourpool.com for both college football and NFL betting previews. We got to get it back on track quick because this is that time of the season when you catch your fans and your audience. So hopefully this is the week.
Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, let's do it. Let's talk all things food the way we love to end every Course of Life podcast episode. Check out Always End with Food on Instagram. We're recapping the trip. The new trip to New Mexico was full of lots of great eats and drinks. Let's get to the theme food, which resonated everywhere on every part of the menu. You couldn't get around it, Mike. Green chilies, thoughts, where you enjoyed them, and what your general disposition is towards the unofficial food of New Mexico.
Yeah, you know, what we had really never heard before. Do you want a green, red, or Christmas with your meal there?
That was new, yeah.
So green chili, red chili, or a mix of both chilies in there. We did some green chili hot dogs. I had an omelet with green chilies in it as well. And then we capped off the whole trip when I got the at the Santa Ana Cafe at the Hyatt Regency, the apple pie with green chilies.
Yeah, which one did you like the most out of those three? I'm curious.
I think the omelet probably was the best. The hot dog, the pepper has a little more kick than I was expecting, maybe.
It does.
And in the pie, it was just odd in the pie. It was just an odd...
I appreciate the effort to work it into a dessert. I appreciate and commend the effort. I definitely enjoyed the green chili dog. Kind of had a little bit of the Italian beef and pepper vibe from Chicago or Illinois. A little bit of those vibes, the hot dog and green chili. So I appreciated that. My favorite meal, probably going to have to be Prairie Star because that was a badass New York
strip
steak.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
It was a great birthday dinner. I mean, that steak was one of the bigger steaks that's ever been presented to me at a restaurant.
So this was nice. It was like 3 or 4 inches tall. It was
I think.
It was a massive steak, and it did look like it was cooked perfectly as well.
It's going to be the combination of that and the fantastic calamari app. That's going to be my favorite eat of the week right there. What'd you like?
Yeah, the appetizer game at Prairie Star was definitely on point. Those pork gyoza
were fantastic as well.
Good call.
And the artichoke hearts were really good. And my meal that I got there as well, the New Zealand lamb, was also spectacular. So really nothing there was bad. Everything was fantastic.
Doesn't hurt that you just have like a majestic watermelon pink view of the sunset over the mountains as you're eating too. That kind of adds the taste a little bit, I think.
So. Yes, that certainly was pretty awesome.
The 19th hole review, pretty straightforward. I love the green chili hot dog. Very solid clubhouse burger at Twin Warriors.
It was a good burger. That's true.
It goes to show you that you don't have to have a super elaborate 19th hole menu either to be a powerhouse. It sits perfectly next to the putting green with the mountains in the background. So it's definitely a vibe if you want to eat there as well too. Those were just some of the highlights. Again, check out Always End with Food Pod on Instagram for all of the food recap content you could ever want or need. We'll have more from the resort next week, some more golf content incoming from it as well. For Michael, I'm Alex. This has been Course of Life. We'll see you next week.